You are listening to episode 223 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
Happy New Year!
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the sixth year of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel podcast. It's been several. We started in 2010. Our first episode released January 2010. So yes, 6 years.
The fuck have I been doing with my life?
I feel older.
The greatest time of your life. I am your host, the marvelous Ziggy, aka Ben. Joining me is I'm not going to repeat the Boston Patriots thing all over again.
That's on a different episode. It doesn't count.
Yeah. So, congrats on going to the AFC Championship game for this fifth year in a row.
Woohoo! Yeah, I'm not sure if we'll win this year. I really don't think we will, but hey, I'm along for the ride either way. So.
And of course, Taser. Potentially his last show. But more on that later.
Yeah.
So a lot of shit happened while we were away.
Motherfucking Doctor Strange!
All over your face. Oh yeah.
There was no pleasant morning than I think it was like the first week of January. Then waking up in the morning, gonna go get my comics, getting all excited to go get my comics because I still almost 10 years this May. It would like getting comics is still a thing. It's still a fun thing for me. Waking up, looking at my Twitter notifications, and then having both you and Hypo tweet me the Entertainment Weekly cover of Doctor Strange, and I literally lost my shit. And I was just like, you look perfect. You look so.
It really does look spot on, though, doesn't
so
he?
You look so perfect.
Oh, my God. They got the facial hair right, and it.
There's the cloak. There's the Eye of Agamotto. There's the detail on that rune, on that spell he's casting. Like, come on. Like legit, as a he looks amazing from the head up. Do you hate it or something?
No, I'm just mocking you.
Okay, on the Doctor Strange thing and on all the other set pieces, the concept art they released of the Sanctum Sanctorum and. I'm still hesitant about some of the other choices they made for the movie. Doctor Strange himself, Benedict Cumberbatch, looks freaking amazing.
He looks perfect.
Like he looks like you know how people were saying that some people, not everybody, but some people were saying that RDJ was like Iron Man stepped out of the comic books and this is Iron Man. I get that similar feel with Cumberbatch. So. He looks fantastic, and the fact that they're emphasizing the magical sense, which makes me more optimistic that it won't be sciencey bullshit. It's magic, and you can't explain magic. It just happens. But I'm very happy with the costume. It looks like the fabric. It doesn't look otherworldly yet. Everything else around him looks otherworldly.
It looks mystical.
Yeah, exactly. It looks mystical, and I'm happy, and I'm convinced that's a fucking Infinity Stone in the Eye of Agamotto.
There's no yellow, though.
It's green. It's green. Well,
I want yellow.
Oh, you want yellow? I'm sure he'll wear gloves. They just were covered up.
Maybe his underwear's yellow. I don't know.
All right, but I mean, I could go on and on forever on this Doctor Strange costume. It's possibly one of the best fucking comic book costumes I've seen in a while. But Taser, what did you think of Doctor Strange's costume?
I'll say this: the photos that they have here from that CBR article. If this is what we end up with, I don't think I'll really have a problem. Yeah, sure. It's not the comic book costume, and we all know how much of a stickler I am for costumes. But I do like what I'm seeing, in regards to that. This is the this is their attempt at trying to pull it off without being too comic booky, and it's not bad. I got to be perfectly honest, it's not too bad. It shows him throwing a mystical bolt, which if it looks like that in the movie, I'll be happy. And there's that fifth photo which shows space Cheerios or donuts or whatever the fuck those things are. I don't know what the hell it is. And then him in the hospital is like, no, my hands, no. What I'm seeing here, the mock-ups aren't bad at all. Granted, Doctor Strange is not one of my favorite characters, and I think, like I said before, magic doesn't work in storytelling for comics because magic books don't sell. And history has shown that for the past 30 years. But I hope this works, because they're fans of Doctor Strange and fans of magic users and I'm all for diversity. I hope it works. I'll be there to see it no matter what, 'cause you know me, I'm a fucking fool. But I like what I see here, So I hope we get to see some honest, legit picks, and I hope I continue to be impressed. That's not me being political or nice. That's, honestly what I feel. I hope I see something really good. Yeah, I'm
Is
done.
it my turn? My
Yeah.
turn? Yay! So, this movie looks sick as hell. I'm super stoked for it. The slew of images that we now have coincided with a release in Entertainment Weekly, where they did a whole feature on Doctor Strange, and we got some photos, some concept art. Which, by the way, his sanctum looks so fucking awesome. Just awesome. And I, too, share Iggy's joy that this movie seems to be headed in a magic direction rather than, oh, it's just technology, micro, oozing fuzzits, bullshit. I want some magic, damn it. And this is the movie, if ever there was a movie, to give us some magic. So. Of course, Benedict Cumberbatch looks a fucking amazing as Stephen Strange. The glimpses we have of different, I think it's that one that looks like a psychedelic, like acid trip realm or some shit like that.
Yeah, the space donuts.
I am just so stoked to see this movie come to life because it is promising to be so much more different and weird than any other movie so far, and I'm really just. I want to see it, I want to see Doctor Strange with his pop collar and his cape and the fucking by the hoary hosts of Hogarth or whatever the fuck your name is or whoever. I want to see this movie happen, damn it. I want to see Benedict Cumberbatch shooting fucking energy out of his fingertips. That's what I want to see. Give it to me, Marvel. Give it to me. I want to see it. I want to see a trailer too. When are we going to see a trailer on this shit, man? We need to see a trailer.
Yeah, I want to see a trailer too. If I might make one
Yes.
opinion though, the shot of the Sanctum Sanctorum, that looks a little too Iron Man-ish. Too bright.
Well,
Too
you mean the concept art, or you mean
Yeah, the
the?
concept
Well, I
art,
mean that's concept art. So
Right, exactly. I
there's
hope
another
it
shot where it's actually in the Sanctum Sanctorum, but you only see the iconic roof symbol. That's about it.
Okay.
Oh,
Well, I
yeah, they
hope
tweeted that out, yeah.
I hope the picture that they have on CBR, which I assume came from EW, I hope
There's more.
that's yeah. I hope there's more, and it looks more. The problem with the Sanctum Sanctorum in the comic, as opposed to what we're going to get here, is the book. It was his home, so it's a home, and we're talking about a man who has a simple. I don't want to say simple, but his home was simple. A lot of wood, a lot of organicness to it, a lot of rustic. Right, that's somewhat rustic. But this seems a little too New York. You know what I'm saying? a little too new, modern way of thinking. And granted, he's a man who came from, who was a successful surgeon who fell because of stuff and blah, blah, blah. And it would kind of make sense for his apartment to look like that because, you know, he was supposed to be rich, you know, because and wealthy and whatever. But I just hope, like, this might be the start, but what we get is something more akin to what we had in the comic, you know, where it's just more homey. You know what I'm saying? Not an apartment, because that looks like an apartment, you know, whereas, you know, Sanctum Sanctorum, that was a house.
Townhouse.
So, not even a townhouse. That was a house. You know, that was a big house, but that was a house. So that's all I'm saying. It's actually, it's still a nice a piece of concept art. Don't get me wrong, but I just, when I look at it, I see Iron Man, and you know, I that kind of, you know,
Yeah, I get it.
so.
But if the shot they released of the roof is any indication, it should be interesting.
Okay, cool.
So it has that iconic roof symbol. So there's that.
That's all right. Yeah, all right. Fair enough.
That is attention to
Fair
detail.
enough.
Like, if there's one thing you think of Sanctum Sanctorum, it's that weird sort of roof, window roof that he has, that weird symbol that don't know what it is, but when you see it, you know what it is. Let us know what you think about Doctor Strange, the costume, the movie in general. So let's move on to something else. Are we to a story about adults versus children?
Retards!
To a story
Retards!
where we live in a country where it's always I want, I want, I want, I want. And when you can't have it, that means you're gonna whine about it until you sign a petition to get it the fuck done.
Iggy, may I?
So I'm gonna let resident Deadpool number one fan club explain the stupidity of one. Can you tell me at least her name who started the petition?
Grace Randolph.
The
Wait a minute.
stupidity
Wait, 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 hold
and
up. Before
utter
you do it,
dumbness. What?
before you do it, I want to warn our listeners. Put on your slickers. I think we're going to get a bribe-bribe rant. Be warned.
The stupidity of Grace Randolph. Brian, take it away,
That's the
Deadpool, in
cover.
the name of Deadpool fans.
Gentlemen, when the Deadpool test footage was first released over a year ago at this point, it was a rallying cry for all Deadpool fans to come together and try to get this movie made with Ryan Reynolds in the leading role. And by some miracle, by grace of God go I, it was achieved. Ryan Reynolds signed on, they got director, they got a supporting set, they got all kinds of green lights from the 20th Century Fox, and they put together a film that is, by all accounts, awesome. And not just awesome, but as promised by the mini parody interview wherein Deadpool hit Mario Lopez over the back of the head, Deadpool has been rated R. As of Wednesday, that would be the 13th, Deadpool officially got its rating from the MPAA, and it was rated R. Now, that would normally bode well for a project, considering how Deadpool is ultra-violent and gross, and the humor is not made for children. So, the internet just couldn't leave it alone. And by internet, of course, I mean people like Grace Randolph. Grace Randolph is apparently someone who exists on the internet, but who also has children. And according to the story reported on CBR, the woman's 8-year-old son gave her a list of reasons why she should take him to see Deadpool. Now, the son is 8 years old and really probably shouldn't be exposed to stuff, so what does Grace Randolph do? Well, instead of simply telling her child no, as would be the case with most parents, at least it was when I was a kid. My parents would never take me to see a rated R film before I was, you know, old enough. She instead starts a petition launched at 20th Century Fox to get them to submit a PG-13 cut of the film in order to allow her child to see it with just a little bit less guilt than she would if she just took him to see the rated R film, which still I'm sure he's not prepared for. Now, Deadpool, for years, has been the katana swinging, gun shooting, foul mouth, woman hating
Troll raising, eyeball raising, pussy eating. Oh, wait,
limousine
what?
riding, jet flying,
We're getting we're
styling and
confusing two we're
profiling.
confusing two wrestlers.
Yes. I know, I know, I got carried away. Anyway, This woman has the balls to take arguably one of the most hardcore characters in Marvel, at least kind of used to be, and to some extent still is, but hey, and say, no, give my child a special movie because he wants to see this hero, who is not made for children, and let him see a movie that is watered down without most of the swears and is just all around terrible compared to the finished product. I don't know what is wrong with these people that makes them think they can demand these things. Because never mind the fact that the comparison used in the initial launch of the petition was that, oh, it's like a green band and a red band thing. That's a trailer. This is a fucking major motion picture that you're talking about. So never mind that gross, ill grasp of a concept. I guess I should be in some ways consoled by the fact that Grace Randolph has received more critics, I think, than supporters at this point. But the fact stands that she is demanding of a studio to take a movie that is otherwise awesome and water it down because her child is young and special and needs a special movie because she just can't take him to see a rated R flick. Like a cool parent or just say no, like a stern parent, she's got to have it her way. This ain't Burger King, bitch. I. No. Don't sign this petition. It's bullshit. Fuck Darius Randolph for thinking she's special and her child is special. They don't deserve it. And really, just don't even acknowledge it. I mean, seriously, this movie is coming out in less than a month. What the fuck does she think she's going to accomplish in less than a month? Does she have any concept of how movies work? Anybody? Honestly?
Probably not.
Ugh, whatever. Point is, Grace Randolph is an entitled woman who does not deserve to have this movie made for her child because, quite frankly, she's too stupid to take her child to see a movie anyway. It's just, it boggles my mind how she was able to do this. I don't understand it. I mean, I don't know. Pass it along.
It's dumb. It's stupid. It's. I remember. And I talked to my dad about this. And he's like, I didn't really care. You know, like he probably would have found some way for us to go see Deadpool. Then again, most I think theaters back then would have probably lenient to a degree. Maybe not 8 years old, but like if you're like 13, 14. But look, kid, you're a nice she kid.
Fucking kid. Listen here, kid.
I'm gonna put on my 40s accent right now, nice she kid. What you gotta understand, she, is that this guy Deadpool is something you shouldn't be watching at your age. Or if you do, just wait for the DVD release in about 6 months.
Not even that nowadays.
No, not with Blu-ray rentals early. Now, you see, kid, you little white entitled bitch.
I gotta be white.
Because he's the kid's white. And
Yeah, Grace Randolph's white.
Grace Randolph is white. And fight the white man. Now, you see, kid.
White's gotta pay. White's
White,
gotta
he's got to pay. Hashtag white privilege. No, seriously, Grace Randolph. No,
Hashtag
seriously,
white
Grace Randolph. Check your fucking privilege. I hate saying that, but
privilege.
check your fucking privilege.
Yes.
Oh my God.
I hate
Yes.
saying that, but this is what it is. And Brian said on it, look. This if whoa, tell the fucking kid to wait for the Blu-ray release where freaking retail people will not bat an eye when you buy the kid for your movie because your chances are your kid won't be there, and if they are, they can't tell you not to buy it because you say I'm buying it for them. They're not gonna see. You can just lie to them versus taking it to the theater. Not
And
everything's
she thinks she's gonna change. This movie is about killing people. You can't get around
killing
that.
people and a whole bunch of absurd fucking jokes that are gonna be hilarious. And you know what? I hope initially I was like, well, okay, maybe for when the DVD comes out. Like, no, not even fucking that. Not even fucking that. Nothing.
Pretty
Give them
short with that
nothing.
movie too, honestly.
I doubt the kid even wants a PG-13 movie. Why would you want to go see a PG-13 Deadpool? That's
Yeah,
a
the whole reason kids like this shit is because it's edgy and cool and bullshit like that. This isn't
He's
PG-13
probably going
isn't
to
edgy
pay
or cool
attention.
enough.
At 8 years old, I doubt he pays attention to the rating unless somebody brings it up. Okay, but are you done, Ben?
I have a few final words. She's dumb. Grace Randolph is dumb. This whole situation is dumb. They, like I said, I'll agree with Brian that they should not even acknowledge Grace Randolph and her white privilege. And I fucking and one This movie's rated R, and this is a call to any comic book Marvel fans or just comic book movies or just fun rated R movies in general. You better fucking go see this movie.
I'm
'Cause
going to see this movie so many times.
if this movie fucking
Are you going
tanks,
to see it to death?
I'm just going to sit in the theater, and when the usher comes through sweeping up, I'm just going to hand her the money for the next show. I'm going to be like, yeah,
Here,
move
here,
along.
just move along. if this movie fucking tanks or is below expectations, it's your fucking fault. So, fucking get the message out there. This movie cannot be a failure. It fuck you. I don't even like Deadpool that much, and I'm angry about this stupid
Because you know
nonsense.
what? This isn't about Deadpool. It's about integrity. If this
It's
shit
about
was...
America.
Imagine how many more
Dun dun
times this shit
dun
will
dun
happen.
dun 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 dun
Honestly,
dun dun.
because if we concede to these terrorists who are using fear to change our movie content and our ratings, where does it end, my friends?
Yeah,
How
down
soon
with Barack
until
Obama.
Rambo is re-released with a PG-13 cut where he's got the gentle pat on the
Well, better
shoulder?
yet, E.T.
When?
where the guns are replaced with walkie talk. Wait, that did. Wait, never mind. That did happen.
This is
That was a
America.
PG movie.
Well, yeah. I just. This is the only comparison I can think of on the top of my head. All right. Taser, final thoughts on the Deadpool.
Okay, I have to be the voice of reason, which kind of tells you how twisted shit is this year when I
Motherfucker.
have to be the voice of reason
Why are you the. Don't fight. Why are you fighting it? Stop fighting
because
us.
you two are hating on the wrong woman. Okay, well, kind of the wrong woman.
You mean, are you, should we
It's
be
not
hitting on the mom?
Grace Randolph's kid. Grace
She's.
Randolph was given this idea from a woman named Christina who had the 8-year-old boy. Okay? So Grace Randolph came up with the idea, but it's this woman, Christina, who had the 8-year-old boy and who had given her all these ideas on why she should let him go see the Deadpool movie and that he would clean his room if she would let him. However, I would also bring up the fact that since he's 8 years old, he should still not be able to legally see the movie unless he's, accompanied by an adult. But
Addendum. Fuck you, Christina. Moving on.
I would say the easiest solution to all this, and I do this because, well, shit, it's what my father would have done with me, is pay for My Little Pony, then go see the fucking movie. There you go. Shit is over. I don't see why there's this, big fucking problem. That the movie that the kid is 8 years old, if she has no problems with letting her son have access to Deadpool content. So that means either the boy's probably getting the comic or he played the video game, both of which I think is mature. At least the video game is. I'm pretty sure the video game is M, and the comic, well, it doesn't have the Comics Code Authority stamp on it without a doubt. So, that's whatever. So either way, she doesn't have a problem with her son being exposed to Deadpool at 8 years old. She just wants to be able to legally take her son in at 8 years old to go see the movie. Okay, so let's seep that in. Now with Grace Randolph, I think this lady's just, I think Randolph is just trying to throw this lady a bone. While I don't agree with cutting this movie, down to a PG-13, like I mentioned when we were offline, I wouldn't have a problem with them making a cut and then having it run separate as a PG-13 movie. But even if that's the case, the boy's 8, so whether he gets in is another thing entirely. But if they do a smaller run with a PG-13 cut, I don't have a problem with it, as long as they do not make that the main cut. If they ended up cutting this movie down to PG-13, oh, fuck every one of you people involved in this. Fuck you royally. And I mean with a splintery telephone pole, And then, broadcasting that on Pornhub or some shit, or YouTube, hack it and then let it stream for like 24 hours. But, I don't have, I don't have an issue, a real issue with what Randolph is trying to do. She just, tried to help this lady out, but I hope it fails. I really do. I hope it fails. I would not want to see a PG-13 Deadpool. That's the shit that would come on fucking FX, because, you know.
Which is what the person he should be waiting for then.
I
I'm tired of my Monday snakes on my Monday to Friday plane. There you go.
just I don't want us to hate on
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr.
Randolph
Falcon.
for the wrong thing. I
Hey,
just wanted to
she's the
get this
one
quick.
who's promoting the damn signature, so she should get some kind of fucking hate.
I'm not going to disagree with that. I'm just being correct here. But like I said, I don't have a problem with them making a PG-13 cut as long as that's not the cut that gets released. You know, if they make a cut that goes direct to DVD, you know, like, you know, an R-rated and a PG-13 cut, I got no problem with that. That's fine. Just as long as it's not the main cut. I want to see. I mean, come on. Let's be real here. Aside from what him saying fuck and headshots, how bad is this movie gonna get? It's not gonna be overly gory. It's not. You know, it's if anything, if we see something where he's like reduced to liquid, like I think has happened to him a few times in the book, I would be shocked beyond all fuck. You know, by and large, what we're gonna see is just, you know, blood, headshots, and a lot of cursing. Which to me, that's like a mid-90s PG-13 movie, rather rated R movie. A rated R movie in my day has titties. I'm saying it. There's sex. There's big blondes with jubblies all over the place, and body parts. Okay, that's a rated R movie, and I can guarantee we won't be seeing it here. You know, so then ends my part.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let us know what you think about white privilege. Moving on from white privilege to black privilege, although there's no such thing called black privilege because white privilege runs all over it. That's right. I'm getting
Yeah, I can't even say anything.
I'm getting political in
Have the
2016.
privilege.
I'm gonna start my own political podcast just because fuck you. That's why.
Oh, shit!
But we officially have a director for the African American Panther.
Really? Who?
It is the director of Creed who was snubbed at the Oscar nominations this
Who?
past Thursday, Ryan Coogler, because he just sounds like a football name that you would
Did you
cheer when
say
they spoke
Coonger?
Coogler.
Coogler.
Coonger.
Coogler. I didn't make the I didn't.
Coonger?
No, it's
Coonger?
like Cooler-ger.
Oh, Cooliger. Oh, I'm
Cooliger.
saying.
Just.
I didn't mean coon. I thought I heard coon. Oh my
No,
God.
no.
Damn it. All right. So
Also
yeah.
starring Chadwick Blackman,
Yeah,
Boseman.
you
Excuse
mean
me. Sorry.
soon to be replaced by Michael B.
Black guy
Jordan.
named Chadwick.
No. Soon to be replaced by Michael B. Jordan just because.
Oh yeah, in the next movie because you know that's what happens with black people in Marvel movies.
No, not even that. It's the fact that Ryan Coogler 2's movie that he's directed, both Michael B. Jordan has been the lead role for. So it's just more of that. But yes, we officially have a director, and while I've seen Creed, I'm a huge Rocky fan. Creed was a very great
I have
continuation.
cancer.
What?
I have cancer.
What, do you have a cancer?
Rocky. Rocky had cancer, didn't
No, it was brain damage.
Oh, brain damage. I have brain damage.
Yeah,
But
it was.
everybody knew that.
Yeah, because fucking Ivan Drago pounded his fucking head in. But spoilers. So I've seen Creed, and I haven't seen Flute Valley Station, which is the one that made Coogler sort of become on the map, at least aware of people's radar. Maybe not to the mainstream, but in terms of people like within the film industry,
Black community?
I guess. Spike Lee knows him, right? Right.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, Fruitvale Station was the up-and-coming film, and Creed was the one that really kind of put him on the map as far
I'm
as
t I'm
this
talking
guy.
about, well, like people knew he got the Creed job probably because of Fruitvale Station. Let's be real here. You know, you don't just get a
Oh,
job like
sure.
you don't get a job
Yes.
like Creed unless you've proven yourself.
Well,
At
I
least.
mean, Creed was an idea that this dude had in film school. Him and his buddy shot the shit and decided that they were going to make it as a film. And he sold the idea to Stallone himself. So
Okay.
that's a whole other thing.
Okay, well, whatever. The point is, now he's going on to the realm of big blockbuster summer movies with Black Panther, Chadwick Boseman as T'Challa. It's T'Challa, right? I don't know what T'Challa's last name is.
T'Challa, Panther. I think it's Panther.
Look it up. Somebody look up T'Challa's actual last name, please.
I will look up T'Challa's last name.
Because it is. Because we just know him as T'Challa the Black Panther. But if there's any kind of any indication, I mean, Black Panther and Creed are going to be so different. Like, even if you're talking about, like, the Black experience, it's going to be different just because the Black experience in Philadelphia in 2015 versus, say, a highly advanced African nation that fights off aliens once every while. It's completely fucking different.
There is no last name given, so I am forced to conclude it as Panther. It
He
is
is T'Challa Panther. That is the title of the episode. That is the title. If it's from a craft standpoint, he's very good. I'm interested to see.
Oh, maybe he took Storm's last name, so he'd be T'Challa Monroe,
No,
perhaps.
he's not
No,
T'Challa
that
Monroe.
didn't happen.
No, he's from a traditional African tribe. His last name, he did not take the woman's last name. You
No,
kidding me with this?
that's
Black.
Sexist.
Hold on, T'Challa was not taking her last name. If anybody was being subservient, even if she didn't kowtow, you know she was bending first.
God damn it.
You're gonna upset the black people and the women, Taser,
Good.
just so you know, if you keep going
The
ahead with
point
this. Fuck the
is,
peak seat.
the
That's all I got to
motherfucking
say.
point is, I'm always interested to see how a director who is not necessarily used to directing. Black Panther is going to be a big budget film than what he's used to. I'm interested to see what he does because in some instances we can get other crap, and other instances we can get a Captain America Winter Soldier, which again, those guys, the Russo brothers, were also first time big budget directors and they turned out something magnificent. But who knows? It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, especially considering it doesn't have a whole lot supporting it. And I
So
mean the character.
far, yeah. There's so far. In terms of a, you mean in terms of a Black Panther mythos? Yeah. I mean, I think within there's a Black Panther. Black Panther has definitely played a bigger role in the Marvel Universe within the past 10 years with his involvement in the Illuminati. And in subsequent events, and Wakanda's become bigger part of a role. So I think they're going to draw from there. And I also think the new Black Panther ongoing, as well as the Black Panther run that everybody references, is the Christopher Priest run in the late 90s, early 2000s. I've never read it, but that is the Black Panther people will know. So if there's any note outside of the early appearances in Fantastic Four, that run of T'Challa will probably be the Black Panther we're going to get on screen. And probably a little bit of from Hickman's characterization. I would just think just because that's where he's most prevalent. But I'll be interested to see. I mean, we know Claw's the villain, so that's we know that Andy Serkis is returning as Ulysses.
Ulysses
As,
Claw.
yeah, as Ulysses Claw, Sans Hand, because Ultron kind of wanted to play happy sax with it. That was actually a laugh. I feel happy now. So there's that. And yeah, I'm excited. Taser, support your fellow brother.
Cole.
As happy as I am to see Black Panther in a movie, and by that I mean Civil War, and as happy as I kind of am in that he's getting his own movie, there isn't a whole lot for them to work with in regard to him. It's like the Supergirl problem. She doesn't have a whole lot behind her. Even looking at that Christopher Priest run, and then there was I don't know, didn't they have a book when him and Storm were married
Like
that
it was
lasted
like
for a little bit?
they stepped in for the Fantastic Four for a little
there
while.
was
Right,
there was
exactly.
several
So
runs
there's
there was
little tidbits here and there, but that's
yeah
the problem though. There's not a like fucking 70 years of shit that they can work with. That's just Black Panther. It's usually Black Panther with Cap or Black Panther with Reed. So it's a much smaller well for them to dip from, and they're really going to have to be building this, I think, on the fly, because with Claw, it'll be interesting to see how they play with Claw, considering where he ends up, and considering how Marvel's been playing the game. I seriously doubt we see him end up like that unless they do some electro techno thing like fucking Electro. I don't know. I don't know what else that they have to play with. If they, especially if they want to make it a franchise. I mean, you got Claw, you've got
They got
Was it his
Wildebeest,
uncle, the.
the white gorilla.
Yeah,
Hold
his
on.
name was a wildebeest.
Well, whatever. I was making
That
shit
was
up.
his
I'm
uncle,
gonna
I
look
think.
up Black Panther Rogues Gallery. I'll be while well, you're talking. I'm gonna look that up.
Yeah, his rogue gallery will probably be a page. Oh yeah, he also managed to arm lock the Silver Surfer. So there you go, Silver Surfer's gonna show up. But that's my fear there, because well, what do they have to work with? And
They got
it's gonna.
Baron Macabre, King Cadaver, Cockroach Hamilton, who looks to be like a big
See?
game hunter, Dragon Circle,
Yeah.
Colonel, oh, there's Colonel Fritz Claw, who I think that might be Ulysses. That's not Ulysses Claw. It looks like a Nazi officer. Hellraiser, literally spelled Hellraiser.
Does he
Icon.
have the pin, the nails in his face?
No, there's no nails in his face. He's like a
Oh, okay.
weird costume. Icon, it's just a weird totem thing.
Oh, from
Jakara.
DC.
this other villain called Jakara. There's Claw with the suit everybody knows. Kyber the Cruel. Eric Killmonger. Lord Carnage. Madam Slay, which okay, that wouldn't be a bad idea. Moses.
Apartheid. Don't forget, his
Holy
big
crap,
show is Apartheid.
Moses Magnum is considered a Black Panther
Are
villain?
you
It's
serious?
listed on Comic Vine, so let's
Yeah.
see. Malice, Manape. That's who I was thinking of. Manape. Solomon Prey, Radioactive Man. They could do Radioactive Man. Why not? Why not?
That has to go really far back, because Radioactive Man
Well,
is
Radioactive
not
Man's
the Iron Man
everywhere.
villain.
Let's be fair. Radioactive Man's everywhere.
No, because it's not like he's a big Avengers villain.
No.
He's
I
a
mean, like
big
in.
Iron Man villain.
Oh, he's clearly a Black Panther villain. Rhino, they can use Rhino because he's in the
They're
African
using
jungle.
people that's probably showed up in his earlier stories, as opposed to, yes, this guy is a rogue.
There's also Salamander Krul. There's Sekhmet, the 6 million year man, Sombre. He could, you know what? Considering these are a racist squad, he can fight the Sons of the Serpent. Right, they're a racist squad. The Soul Strangler, the
On the
Super.
hate monger, why not him too?
Sure, I
That's
there's
racism.
he could fight the White Avenger.
Oh,
There's an actual character called the White Avenger. White Wolf, you fight White Wolf.
White Wolf, as opposed to Red Wolf, because that would be too racist.
White Apes, and then the last one is listed is Princess Zanda. So there you go.
Old girlfriend.
I just gave you a whole bunch of Black Panther names. Some of them actually look pretty cool. Like, I'm not
Yeah,
gonna lie, some of them look pretty cool.
You know, we
and
could
all of
just
those.
suit Namor and call it a day,
But
Yeah, see,
they're.
there you go.
Just like.
But see, that again, that's my problem, because how which of you two recognize five of those
I
names?
recognize Moses Magnum. And
That's
that's because he
one.
appeared in X-Men.
But that's my problem, though. Like I said, most of that is I'm guessing, because I didn't read Priest Run, because Black Panther for me is. Okay, he's a black guy with Captain America abilities, so yeah, don't really care. And he rich black guy from, a rich nation in Africa, I don't fucking care. But his the back stuff, the stuff that, we look at with Spider-Man and Cap and Iron
There
Man,
really isn't there.
FF,
Yeah, I
exactly. So
that it,
that's just my fear, that there isn't enough. And even with all the names that you listed, those were probably one-offs.
probably
So
yeah.
I hope that whatever the hell the dude you just
I
said
mean,
was
they
the
could pull on that
director,
he's a king. I mean, he is also a king of a nation. He's not just a superhero, he's a king of a country.
yeah, that doesn't make him an interesting character though.
Good. You could do some interesting things with it.
And that's what I hope.
Diplomatic immunity, bitches.
Oh, so he's doomed now.
Diplomatic immunity. It's
I hope
just
that that's
been
what they do.
revoked.
I just I. Like I said, I look at how much stuff there is out there for him, and I hope whoever they get to do the screenplays, write the screenplays, really does something good so that it makes it interesting. Because, let's face it, Hancock was an oddity. Most decidedly black heroes films don't make that much money. Even Spawn
Or steel.
didn't. Steel was a joke from day fuck, okay? Let's be real here. But, black heroes, even, especially ones done seriously, typically don't make a lot of money, and we don't have a lot of them.
This,
so,
but also this
you know,
has
crossing the fingers here.
This has the benefit
of being a Marvel movie.
Of, yeah, of having the Marvel hype machine behind it because people will go see it based on that.
Right. So that means it could make 85 mil.
It'll make more than what it had before, and if it's
so wait, you mean you guys don't do Steel Kazam double features on Shaquille O'Neal film night? You
Brian, as punishment, you're coming to do a Kazam commentary in a couple months. So get ready.
Oh no! Please no! Please,
you know what? I hope that there's actually some good cameos because cameos kind of help Marvel movies.
Yeah.
So I hope there's something decent in that first one.
Ant-Man! Have him ride giant African ants. Do
anyway, like I said, please give us a decent cameo, and I'm crossing my fingers and hoping it's a decent story.
All right. You know? Brian, did you give your thoughts on it?
On Ryan Coogler directing Black Panther. I mean, I'm good for it. I saw Creed. It was fucking awesome. So, you know. If he brings that sort of talent to Black Panther, I'd be all for it. My only concern is that it's not really a concern over the quality of the movie. It's a concern over Ryan Coogler himself in that he's still a young director. He only has a couple of real credits to his name. So I'm not sure what being engrossed in the Marvel machine that soon will do to him, if anything.
We'll have to see.
Yeah, yeah.
That'll be interesting how he handles this huge process. All right, let us know what you think about Ryan Coogler directing African American Panther coming to theaters in 2019, I think, right? 2018 or 2019?
I think it was 2018.
Yeah, okay. Let us know what you think. That's a long way away from now. All right, now we're going to move on to our book of the week.
Wait.
Yeah, February 2018. Black History Month.
Wait. Hold on. So you're saying it's the black guy bringing up the rear? Just want to put that out there.
That's the movie right before Avengers Infinity War. Sure, why not?
So black guys in the back of the bus. All right, fine. Okay.
Happy Black History Month day, people. History Month day. Happy Black History Month.
Happy Black.
It's not even February yet. What am I doing? Already thinking it's February. It's barely mid-January.
MLK is weeping wherever he lays.
You mean he's not alive?
Nope, him and Tupac's hanging out, mm-hmm. along with Biggie and Elvis.
All right, and David Bowie. Don't forget about that.
David Bowie. Boo! Don't make fun of the Bowie. Boo!
Too soon.
Too soon. I don't care.
No, you and don't. But let's move on to our book of the week and the one that's potentially going to move Taser into the reserve slot of members. Secret Wars number fucking 9.
Finally!
I'll sum this up very easily for people. A gigantic battle. At the end of the day, it came down to potentially the oldest rivalry in Marvel Comics, which is Doctor Doom and Reed Richards. And basically, Doctor Doom... Basically, he admits that, Reed, you probably could have done better as the god figure. I'm Dr. Doom.
Curse you!
Richards! I mean, even the thing Richards.
Richards!
So, it basically came down to Doom's own sort of, what would you call it? Like, his fear of Richards? Like, his impotency around Richards? T'Challa and, or Black Panther.
No, inferiority complex.
Yeah, inferiority complex. Exactly, thank you. His inferiority complex. Although I did kind of like when T'Challa freezes God Doom and Namor breaks him, and I was like, well, is that it? And then he rises like the Terminator from Terminator 2. I was like, well, no, it's not. But basically, yeah, this whole issue is basically sort of it's basically about Reed and Doom and their sort of their characterizations throughout the Marvel Universe. I don't really know, I guess. And it all comes down to that, yeah, Doom is smart, Doom is this, Doom is that, but at the end of the day, and also it's nice to see angry Reed every now and then, and that that's why he's better than Doom, because he is not a heartless monster. You know, and that, you know,
he's not selfish.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, he and like Doom screaming at him, "You think you could have done better? You can admit it!" Like a fucking lunatic. And it's kind of odd to say because Doom is normally presented as very rarely he has that anger, like he has that anger inside of him because he still hates Reed. But like most of the time, Doom has always been like very calm, very boasting, but never angry, never losing his control. He lost his shit. In like that whisper of. Like even like when Reed says, "Yeah, I could do better than you," and like even and Doom admits it, yeah, you would now die. You know, it's just like now fuck you, sort of that kind of thing. And then reality somehow gets reworked, but by and we get an answer to, basically, Miles is in the normal universe. That was kind of cool to see both Spider-Man swing up in the distance. And basically, the Fantastic Four w rebuilt the Marvel multiverse. If anybody was confused by that ending, and I was a little bit confused by the ending, but and that they're sort of like the reason why Reed and Sue are not, they're not dead. They, I mean, they're not dead. They are exploring new type of rebuilt Marvel multiverse. And they didn't think it was right to have Ben and Johnny, sort of come along with them. And then, now we see how Doom gets his face back, and and then I think the a friend of mine pointed this out to me. Maybe you guys can attest to it. But at the last panel of Secret Wars, coincides with the first panel of New Avengers, where it's basically, I think it's Reed saying everything dies. If I can't remember or not. But and then of course Reed saying, "Eva, don't you see? Everything lives." So I don't know if there was any nice symmetry between that, which was started nearly 3 years ago, to this. But I thought it was a very interesting way to end it. That it was very from about how big of a scale it was to basically boil it down to Reed versus Doom. And that Doom knows he can never be as good as Reed Richards. That Reed has that caringness about him, that he's not ruthless, all the other things. But I thought it was a very interesting way. I wouldn't. I don't know. I don't. I'm almost a week later, and I don't know if that's good or not. I can't decide. I don't know how I feel about the ending of Secret Wars. I find it kind of romantic that Reed and Sue are off basically being the explorers that they should be, but at the same time. Knowing that we're not going to see them, it's still kind of like I feel like that should have been a book, just Reed and Sue and the Future Foundation kids exploring the multiverse. Why isn't that our book? But it's not, and so now they're just in a limbo stasis for all intents and purposes, like in Final Crisis, where they're going to be forgotten about. But it now they're just in the ether. They're just there. They're proclaimed as dead, but they're not. I don't know. I give it a 3 out of 5. I just don't know how to feel about it. I think I need some distance away from it, and then reread the whole event, and then see how I feel about it. Now that it's all officially done, but I don't feel one way or another. Like there are parts I like, there's parts I was confused, but it's weird.
It is certainly weird.
Brian, take it away.
Okay. Well, let's see. I mean, the way the issue was ramping up, you kind of knew it was going to come down to Reed versus Doom. But yet, when it happened, you still weren't really ready for it. Like, when you see them finally confront each other, it's kind of like, okay, this is really what's boiling down to. And there's something kind of, I think, disappointing in that, but there's also something kind of reassuring because as sure as you can create an entire universe where any number of infinite worlds exist, no matter what, Reed and Doom still hate the fuck out of each other just so much. And I loved seeing Reed finally just kind of go off at Doom, mocking him. Like, the first thing you did when you got his power, first thing, was you put yourself into my shoes, in my life, with my wife and my children. And then he just goes on and really takes Doom down a notch. And I loved the Molecule Man who's just kind of like, no, let him duke it out. I want to see it happen. And I really kind of dug it because While I am one all for the big explosions and bombastic shit, I'm also the one who really enjoys the smaller moments. And in a book full of huge concepts and shit, this smaller moment kind of defining the whole series really kind of made me enjoy it. Because at the end of the day, I really did enjoy it still. So that's
Which
not
small
something.
moment? Which small moment? Small moment. Which small moment were you talking about?
You know, the one with Doom and Reed in the
Oh,
mystic
okay.
chamber or whatever.
Right. Okay.
So, that being said, it's something that I know was, or rather something I took amusement in, because seeing how at the end of the day Reed wound up just with his family, not so much the all-consumed scientist that we always see him portrayed as, the negligent husband and father. He's actually kind of there with his family, and they're doing, like, rebuilding the universe and stuff. And that's really kind of, I think, an interesting character note to go out on. I really enjoyed it. That being said, God, what was it? The whole Black Panther spiel at the end sets up Alpha Flight, I guess, which. I don't know what the is that something over in the Ultimates that I missed? Because I'm not reading the Ultimates.
No, if anything, that was, as far as I could tell, that just harkened back to the first episode, the first issue of New Avengers Volume 2. That's as far as I could take it. Because remember, those are the three kids that he comes when they first discover the whole parallel worlds destroying each other, blah blah blah.
Right,
Those are those
right.
three kids. The use of the term Alpha Flight, I think, was just one of those nod, wink, wink kind of things, you know? Because yeah, it was the first flight of that nature, so wink. But I don't think that there was anything more to it than that, you know? And to be fair, if that was T'Challa, you know, like our T'Challa, then that meant he went into the future to, you know, say whatever it was he said to these three. So how the fuck did he get back? Because remember, he destroyed the gem. So I don't know what that was. You know, it was an interesting loop, but I still don't really it, that. And anyway, that. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Right. So, Miles Morales, we find out why he's been sorted into this new existing universe and whatnot. And honestly, I'm really. I mean, I wanna be more critical of it, and I think I will be like Vences when I get some distance from it. But I think after such a long period, the fact that it's finally over just either hasn't set in yet, or it has set in, and I'm just too relieved to be done with it to even bother really picking up a critical eye at it again. So I think with some time and some distance, I'll be able to come back and be like, oh, this wasn't cool, or this wasn't so great, or this, that, and the other. But as it stands right now, I actually really kind of, you know, was okay with it, especially the way the Reed Doom thing sorted out. And also, I'm really just kind of wondering what happened with Doom and his face. I mean, did Reed do that, or did Doom do it to himself? It was that's one thing I really had kind of scratched my head at. But all that aside, I think I enjoyed it. I'm not going to say that for certainty, but I think for now I can say that I actually kind of enjoyed it. Not, I didn't love it because from issue two, which was like the nut ball hit out of the park, to this, which is like the game was run off of a walk. That's really just kind of, you know, a limp across the finish line there. But the closing moments with Reed and Doom and all that, I really kind of enjoyed. And the setup for the new Future Foundation, I enjoyed as well. And I'll be looking forward to see if and when they factor back into the Marvel Universe. So, for now, I give it a generally positive outlook. That may change, but for right now, I'm kind of happy with it as is. So, Taser, I think
So,
that's your call.
my turn. Honestly, this book ended. It ended. You know, it was a story that got told, and it's done, and, you know, the Marvel Universe is back. We don't know what else is back in regards to the greater Marvel multiverse. I guess it's fair to say that, you know, the Ultimate Universe is gone, or maybe it got recreated, but most of the characters that we know about are gone. I didn't actually get to finish Ultimate End, but I know that the Maker made it over, and so did Miles. Miles makes sense. The Maker, not so much. I don't get it. You know, why he would be recreated, because all of that was done from the Molecule Man. You know, the Molecule Man is the one who ended up going, okay, well, here's what's happening, boom, and hey, Reed, okay, here, recreate everything, and I'll let you do it. So I don't know. I don't know. The Doom Reed thing—that's a story that's been told for the last 60 some odd years. Okay, it's not the first time that we've seen Doom get humbled, and have to admit that all of his accomplishments and all the stuff that he's pulled off and all of his Doom greatness and everything that he's capable of, Reed still bests him. Reed is still the better man. And, I mean, hell, Reed even claims it. The first thing you did was replace me with my own family. You know? And that shows how petty Doom is. And even with the biggest opportunity to be the big benevolent ruler, he doesn't even do that. You know, he creates Battle World where, you know, he sets him up as like King, don't touch my dick. And, you know, Sue is the big doting wife who never questions anything. I mean, that woman didn't show not one shred of lack of support for anything that he did. Even shit that might have looked questionable. Fuck it. Doom is God. I love God. It's all good. It'll work itself out. Valeria had did a better job of, you know, something doesn't sound right. Let me see what I can work out. The stuff in the background, like the big battle with all the other factions, that became irrelevant. Thanos, who Hickman fucking pranced around for like what, 4 or 5 issues as being going behind the scenes and manipulating stuff, ended up being not a damn thing. That ended up being if Woody Allen walked up to Arnold Schwarzenegger back when he was filming the first Conan movie and tried to finger flick him in the nads, you know, and freaking Arnold's obvious response to that. You know, but you got to spend 4 issues showing Thanos doing something, and it ended up being nothing at all. You know, it didn't affect not a damn thing. And that big fight at the end ended up not being anything. There was no focus on it in this issue whatsoever. So who won? Who cares? You know, hell, fucking Namor got taken out after that, after Doom's first response. You know, and ended up being like some esoteric, you know, existential fight between Doom and freaking Black Panther with battle bots and, you know, six-dimensional images and, you know, whatever the fuck else. Which that's actually interesting. I mean, that would be a god fight, I would imagine. I kind of like that bit, but Doom beating Black Panther, fine. You know, the Infinity Gauntlet not being as powerful as like a million fucking cosmic cubes all condensed into one, which is what the Molecule Man was. Okay, I'm good with that. But and it all being part of a plan to keep him busy while, you know, Reed and other dumbass Reed go about fake, you know, finding the power source. You know, all of that's good. But nothing else mattered. You know, everything that we've been reading for like the last, what, 6, 7 months? You know, the stuff that even happened to coalesce in these last few issues, none of that mattered. No resolution, nothing. It was a joke, you know? And you know, I like that it ended up being Reed and Franklin, you know, Franklin imagining, you know, universes, and Reed using Owen to throw him out there and making them become realized. Yay! Reed restores the Marvel omniverse, so, multiverse, whatever you want to call it. I kind of like that thought. That's kind of cool. Them taking Sue and Reed off the I guess off the playing board as usable characters is a huge disappointment to me, because, and I agree with Brian, them and the kids going about discovering and seeing how these universes flesh out, that's awesome. That's a book I would read. That's like the foundation of what made the Fantastic Four great for so many years. Discovery, exploration. That's the shit that they should do in the movies. But because, it didn't happen, it didn't happen. But, and we won't get that because reasons. Oh, but, Johnny and Ben, they're fine. They could, get tossed into, Guardians of the Galaxy or whatever the fuck. And whatever. But I'm sorry. I'll give Hickman credits for high concept, And there are a few things about this I like, but this fails. This fails. This fails. It fails hard. Fuck this book and fuck Hickman. 1 out of 5. Stupid fucking waste of time. It didn't even wrap up. Fuck this. I'm done.
So, do we announce your new status, or do
Yeah.
you? All right. Basically, because of Taser's dissatisfaction with both the Marvel reboot as well as in the Secret Wars, Taser's official status has now been moved to reserve member. What does that mean? Basically, he's still technically a part of the Warriors 3 family because fuck it, the man was there when I needed a person. So I'm not gonna just outright you're fried, even though I've been working all
No.
like week. Basically, when we do a new special edition or whenever the fuck he feels like coming on to just rant about something, I'd imagine, for 5 minutes. He's welcome back. So when we do Deadpool next month, he'll be here. When we do Civil War, and so on and so forth. So there you go.
And if I can explain, I would just like to put out there that for me to do this show, you should at least be wanting to read the stuff, But for the last, I'm going to say, 6 months, I'm enjoying less the stuff that's coming out because of the way Marvel was moving and it was going in the direction that they were moving with their product. I'm not even getting, even though I'm getting the books digitally, I'm not even getting them on Wednesday, or even Thursday. At some points, I was doing it like Saturdays and Sundays because I wasn't even looking forward to them. If you're not looking forward to the stories, then why are you reading? And, that's why I stopped reading DC. That's why I stopped reading Green Lantern. And you guys know how much I love Green Lantern. And that's why I can't. Me doing this would be a waste of time because I'm not enjoying anything, And if you're not enjoying anything, then why bother? So, I just want to put that out there. It's not just me being an old curmudgeon or whatever. It's just I'm not enjoying it anymore. If things turn around or something changes, if somebody puts out, well, let's say enough books that I could at least hold like maybe 3 or 4 a month, in interest. I'll ask Iggy, if I can come back and then whatever. But as it is, there's only one book that I even have the slightest bit of interest in, and that's just to find out what the fuck happened with, Thor and Mjolnir. Beyond that, everything else is eh. So, yeah, I'm easing off from the weekly, And I hope, whoever you get to, take my spot because you should have an asshole. somebody who's just gonna run contrary to everybody else. You gotta have that. John is not that guy. John's too nice. You need an asshole. So I hope you get somebody that, does a good job in
Well,
that. Or at least somebody to gel with.
no matter who we get, they ain't gonna replace you, big man. But the show's not
Thank
over yet.
you.
The show's not over yet. Nobody can replace Black as Sky. We have fun, and it's gonna be weird not having you on certain Mondays. But I know that, hey, you're on the message boards. I'm not on Facebook, but hey, you're there. You're not dead. It's just an end of an era.
Nope.
You're just gonna be
Well, you
Rick.
know,
You're just gonna do.
I just realized
You're
this.
gonna become Ric
This,
Flair.
I'm the second black guy to ease back from this show. Are you doing this on
The
purpose?
other guy needs
Is
to come
this?
back. Tell his. You live near him. Tell it. Well, actually, I don't know. I don't think you do anymore. But you in the same. Yeah, you know him personally. Tell his ass to get back here. I miss him. I miss my co-founder.
Fair enough.
I miss my co-founder. All right. Oh, everything I love leaves me. Brian, you're not leaving. You're changing your fucking desk. So let's move on to individual reviews real quick. I'm going to individually review Ultimates number 2 because holy fucking hell. Okay. You know me, the book, the one Avengers book that I loved was Uncanny Avengers. It was the book that I raved every time it came out. I loved it because of its good and big in scale and all this other nonsense. Uncanny Avengers in the new Marvel. Ryan Segman, you're a horrible artist. I never want to see you. I want you off my book. So, everybody tells me, Ben, Iggy, marvelous one. Oh, great leader. Nobody calls me great leader.
Isn't that what they called Hitler?
Nicole, shut the fuck up.
Ooh.
Check your privilege.
That should be
Check your
the
privilege. Then they told me to check out the Ultimates, and I was skeptical. I was like, I don't. Do I really want to? And then I read first issue, and we already covered the first issue, and that's probably the reason why I didn't check it out, because it just seemed like, eh. But then I read it, and then I read the second issue, and I'm thinking the one thing I got out of it was that this really reminds me. In some very similar, not completely like doing the same thing, but very similar to Warren Ellis's run on the Authority. And what I mean by that is it's these big fucking huge concepts that you cannot do in other media because other media just because of how certain people in power work and just because of how budgets work. You can't do that stuff like feasibly. Here they're presenting like you got trips to other planets, multiverse theory, and the whole Apex, the whole part of the first arc is basically ending Galactus. He like in you know what is Galactus? Is he like in the nature of Galactus? And you actually get Galactus's origin in case you don't know. In case you don't know, Galactus is basically he was born at the fusion of being. At the end of one universe, at the beginning of ours, and that sort of culmination created Galactus. And you actually see that. It's actually pretty cool. I've never actually re don't recall seeing Galactus. And basically, what if we turn you not into the eater of worlds, the destroyer that Galactus is known, but what if you're like, and basically they're trying to turn Galactus into a force of good, which is. My Marvel inner fanboy is screaming, "No, you can't do that!" But part of me is like, "Fucking do it! I want to see what happens," you know. And it's these big, high science concept stuff. It doesn't feel like a superhero book. It feels like again, like The Authority, which is a superhero book, but like a lot more science driven, a lot more big science, a lot more science. It feels more like a science fiction comic. Than it does a superhero comic, and I like that, and I like the team around it, like Black Panther. I think Miss Marvel, Miss America provides an extra bit of spice. I like Black Panther's lead. The only one I'm not sure of is the Blue Marvel. Just because he,
The
just because I,
Black
the
Marvel.
Black Marvel, whatever I call him, the Blue Marvel. Just because he hasn't been around that long, so I don't really know. But Captain Marvel's part of this. It's a very cosmic feeling book in terms of what they're dealing with, at least in this first arc. And I really like the tagline for the book is big problems, big solutions. I want to see where this goes. I want to know. I need to find out. And also the art by Kenneth Rocafort. Like this guy was at hostage at DC Comics for the past 3 years, and he should have been on like Green Lantern or something. I'm not
What
saying.
did he draw of it,
He
DC?
did like a couple of Superman issues, and that was it. And he didn't do anything that I could recall. You know, he didn't do anything of the critically acclaimed books that I was reading. He was pretty much just I kept it exclusive so nobody else could use him. But now that he's here, and I've been a fan of his art for a good like prior to the New 52. Like I saw when I heard he was working for DC, I'm like, oh, this is awesome. And to see him here and be able to like see Sooner style, but also be able to draw these outlandish science, these science fiction sort of settings, it's like, yes, give me more of this. I love the Ultimates. It's become my new favorite Marvel book. Like I've, it's not the same thing, but it's providing an itch that I didn't know I didn't need, I didn't know that couldn't be scratched. So yeah. I give it a 4 out of 5. Go pick up the Ultimates. I haven't picked up issue 3 yet. Issue 3 is out. I'm gonna go pick it up this Wednesday. Oh, so good. Taser.
I read this and I gotta say, I like the high concept of it. And like you, I kind of went, oh, I want to see what they do here. Oh my gosh, they're gonna change Galactus. And then what I saw is they turned him into the gardener, you know? And I was both mystified, impressed, and horrified because, you know, part of the mythos with Galactus is Galactus had a place in the universe. Galactus doing what he did, while it wasn't nice to some people, there was he fit into the universal plan. And here they went and they, you know, they put a, you know, a feather in his cap, and they made him nice. And I'm horrified and both pleased to see that happen because it is different. But I'm like, oh, that, you know, that's not going to stay, you know, just because, you know, because of the nature of comics and everything else, you know, that this will not be a permanent thing. And I hope it doesn't, because they will have pissed off Galactus. And that, the
The
idea that,
repercussions of it.
yes, that Black Panther has pissed off Galactus. But it's also kind of horrifying too when you stop and think about it. It's not like, I mean, Galactus himself has at times mentioned how he wishes he was different.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, different writers, you know, over the last like
Yes,
fucking 70 years.
at least to me, Galactus should like. He's not necessarily evil. He dude's just hungry.
Right, exactly.
Dude's just
So
hungry. He's got the munchies.
it's a matter of nature,
Yeah.
because I mean he has to eat. But you know, when you look at, I mean, they made Golden Galactus. All will be well. Look at that. I know that all is well. Fucking say, what's his name from the blue core? Saint, what's his name? From the Hope Corps. Come on, from Green Lantern.
Saint Walker?
Saint Walker, there you go. Thank you. All is well. There you go. All he needs is a blue ring.
Yeah.
And I swear to you, that last image of him, Golden Galactus, doing something to that barren rock, I giggled like an idiot because, I mean, it's both funny, it's interesting, and I know it's not going to last. And because it's Marvel, I want to see how it goes horrible. I but you know, that was just what I thought when I finished reading this issue, so
All right.
I'm sorry, that was my thought.
All right, but what is
I thought it was an interesting read, but you know, like with everything, it's not enough for me to stay with the book, you know? So yeah, and I looked at three, and yeah, I don't really care.
What about in your individual review, your last one?
Oh, like I told Brad Bright, I read The Cavalry One. Yay. Okay. Long story short, they brought Melinda May into the Marvel Universe. And you know, I like May. You know, May kicks ass. I don't have a problem with, you know, kick ass females. And it doesn't look, and I had this, you know, kind of confirmed with Bri-Bri, it doesn't look like they're, you know, bringing over a lot of the, you know, the TV characters and just sticking them in here, although she's a TV character. But and it looks like some of her backstory is going to be the same, because they, you know, they showed a flashback to like that whole dead kid thing. But this book was basically a quick introduction to May via comic book and her, you know, in the current day, she's training a bunch of new S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, you know, for field duty, and things go wrong. She has to, things have to get modified. One woman stands out because she's, you know, tech capable, and they stop a bunch of robot wolves, and yay, you know. So, and Coulson and her talk, you know, and stuff. It's a very light issue, and if you never read, or if you don't watch too much Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., then this isn't going to matter a whole lot to you. It'll, if anything, it'll feel like a bit sudden, you know, because they kind of talk about how she's got all this backstory and, you know, long history with S.H.I.E.L.D., but she kind of went elsewhere for a bit. Now she's back and doing stuff. Okay. It's like, you know, the Harlequin thing. You know, they wanted her in the freaking comics proper, so this, you know, they went and they did it. And this is the same thing. Okay. It was okay. You know, I suppose she'll probably end up in, you know, the new S.H.I.E.L.D. book, which I'm not going to touch because, no, I'm not doing that. And, you know, the fact that she's now a comic book character, I don't have a problem with. This book was very light. It wasn't complicated. It was a very fast read. It was simple, you know. So I kind of have to take off points for that. Art was okay, and I know people who care about that stuff. So for the West info, this was written by Jody Hauser and Luke Ross did the art. I don't know. Not a bad book. Not a great book. I guess I'd give this. I'll give this a 2.7 Warriors out of 5.
Brian, close this out.
Is he snoring?
No, he's not snoring.
Sorry, hang on. I'm going to go with Scarlet Witch number 2.
Ooh.
Did we cover that one already?
No, but I'm interested to hear your thoughts because I read it too.
Yeah, I was actually going to give it a solid pass initially, but then I cracked open the book and the artwork kind of just blew me away, so I decided to pick it up. And I have to say, artwork aside, the story I think picked up a notch for me. So I really enjoyed it. This story being that...
Yay, another Scarlet Witch fan, yay!
In a search to figure out what's up with the witchcraft in the world, she travels to Greece to seek out the goddess Hecate, who is now in mortal form, I suppose, for more or less. And she just so happens to run into a minotaur running around the city. So, basically, while seeking out the wisdom of Hecate and trying to figure out what's going on, Wanda sort of decides to take on this this minotaur beast. And what she finds out is that this is actually not the Minotaur, but is in fact a charmed individual who is given more power to sort of appear as such. He is, let's see, William Torrens, also known as the Man-Bull, and he was made to appear as though he was a Minotaur and sort of trash Silent at the behest of someone or something. We don't really have an idea yet. And so... She sort of removes these charms from him, and he sort of panics because he doesn't want to go back to being weak or without power. So I think he does like a nosedive off a cliff, essentially, and presumably dies. I don't know. And so Scarlet Witch leaves the island, and basically what happens is... She muses on the difference between good magic and bad magic, in that good magic, there's a cost for it, which actually sort of ties into the Doctor Strange stuff going on over there, but that's a different issue. But also that when bad magic is at play, they don't pay for it, and it's the aerial around the magic that ends up suffering, such as the Minotaur being turned into a bunch of people dying. So... that's just something she sort of muses on about the philosophy of good and evil and how it's this, that, and the other thing. And then the last page shows Hecate being burned alive, I think it was, And admittedly, I don't know who that person is. Iggy, do you have any idea who that person is on the last page?
Hold on,
Iggy.
hold on. Let me get the issue.
Yeah, sure. It looks like Jason Blood, but then I'm like,
I
nah,
don't,
this is.
I don't know. Honestly, I do not know. I think it's, I have no idea. I thought it was Jason Blood too for a second. I'm like, wait, what the fuck are you doing here? Because there's a white streak in his hair.
I know, but the accent threw me. So then I thought, wait, is this Black Tom Cassidy? But then I'm like, no, he's a mutant. He doesn't do magic, so.
Yeah, it's not Black Tom Cassidy. I don't know. Maybe it's somebody. It's somebody connected to Scarlet that we don't know about.
Yeah, it's the illusion and the issue is that the person's Irish, so whatever that does, but
Maybe it is Black Tom Cassidy.
maybe, but that would mean he got a serious upgrade in his powers. But regardless, the big get for me obviously was the artwork. I pulled this issue off the rack, I flipped through it, and I realized that the artwork was just
Yeah.
phenomenally done. Marco Ruddy did a
He
fantastic job.
changed his art style. He did this in Winter Soldier, that Bucky Barnes book, when he was basically replacing Nick Fury. He did it there first, but before that, he was just a typical normal line guy. So I'm happy he's continuing with this new painter style.
Yeah, it's beautifully rendered. I mean, he gets a lot to play with, what with being on Greece and this island, and he gets a lot of colors in there. It was a huge step up from issue one, I thought. And I would honestly love to see this guy tacked on to the issue for the rest of the run, but I know that's not how they're doing it, so. But that aside, I think he did a phenomenal job rendering the artwork. And the story, I'm usually not a guy who defines a story by the artwork. I'm usually more of a writer person, but I think James Robinson's story was better conveyed with this artwork behind it rather than it was the first issue, because I saw this and I was suckered in by the story. So that being said, I would easily give this fucking 4 out of 5, easy. The only point I really withhold is what is it for? The Minotaur scenes, the darkness and the stuff, that's all well done, but there's just a few frames in there that look a little wonky. And not even just in that, but in the lights too. Some of the faces maybe just don't come out exactly right, and that's, I'm sure, just something that happens when you do a painted style.
Huh.
I give it a 4 out of 5, easy.
Cool. Awesome. Scarlet Witch, go read that series, people. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, that's gonna do it for our first episode of 2016. So I have a lot of stuff to plug, actually. First off, let you guys know that my Twitch streams, which have been pretty shit, not
What the hell? I thought
Taze.
John wasn't here this week.
Sorry about that. That was me.
Okay. I just got a new gaming PC as of this recording, so that means, and it's more horsepower than what I was running off of before. So that means better Twitch stream,
More
more
power!
better more be efficient Twitch streams, and more variety of games at twitch.tv/82814. Probably starting the time this comes up. Hopefully there'll be something there. If not, we'll definitely Street Fighter V in February. But also follow me on Twitter at MarvelousSiggy. And of course, you already know to head over to thegreenlanterncore.com where you can check out the latest reviews on the Green Lantern books. Check out my newest review on the new miniseries, Green Lantern, Green Lantern Corps, The Edge of Oblivion, Returning Ethan Van Sciver arc. Go check out my review on that. But also, I have new work to report on, actually. Head over to SentaiRangers.com where I wrote a review for Mighty Morphin Power Rangers number 0, the preview to the upcoming ongoing series that's going to start in March. So if you want a primer of to actually buy the issue in which to buy the series in March, read my review over at SentaiRangers.com. It should be one of the first lead stories. It's pretty cool. I want to appreciate Kuhan for allowing me to write the review. It was fun. It was a lot of fun, and it, not gonna lie, it made me kind of nostalgic. I kind of watched Power Rangers for 3 hours in a row. So it's morphin' time, baby. So yeah. And also one final tidbit because it's Marvel related. Head over to RPG Commentaries because not only is the Mighty Warriors Team Marvel podcast back, RPG Commentaries is back in full swing. This time, as we Dragon and I, along with our friend of ours, Akhil, Akil, aka Hypo, on the GreenLanternCorps.com message boards. As we record, we did a commentary for Marvel, for the Avengers, Age of Ultron, as we learned the true face of the Hacker Menace. You want to know what that means? Go listen to the commentary. No, it's a really funny explanation, trust me. I'll tell you guys off screen. But for everybody else, go listen to the commentary as we learn the true face of what a hacker looks like. So that be, and then more to come from me in 2016. I am fucking full force this year. Anything you guys gonna want to say before we move, before we close for tonight?
Yeah, I'll be back whenever it is, TV talk or movies or video
Well,
games.
you'll be
It's
back
just
next
the
week because we're
comic
doing
stuff.
Star Wars next week.
Hopefully, we'll be doing Star Wars next week.
John, get your shit together. I know you're gonna listen to this, John.
That's right, OGG. Borrow the van if you need to, or little Susie's tricycle
Now I'm
to get
picturing
over
him
the live stream.
like what's his name from the Goonies? What's his name? He's Thanos
Brad.
now. No, I was thinking of the actor's name. I know
Josh. Josh.
Josh Brolin. Josh Brolin. There
Yeah,
you
there you go. That's Brolin.
go. All right, Brian, do you want to say anything before we go?
Taser, you're the man.
Of
It's not gonna
course.
be the same without you kicking around on a regular basis, but
Naturally.
we'll have you back, I'm sure. And I'll just promise to keep harassing you on Facebook, I guess.
You
That's about all I
Taser,
care
are
about.
you
I
still gonna
don't
manage
much
our
anymore,
Facebook?
John Cena.
You still gonna
Yeah,
manage?
I'm still doing
All
that.
right, so
Yeah,
you still.
I'll continue doing that other stuff. But, don't have to worry about that. I'll
Okay.
continue posting
You
up
still you're
stuff.
still our Facebook manager. I like giving people titles. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. It's gonna be a big year for the Mighty Warriors 3 in 2016, at least we hope. Until then, until next week, may the Force be with you. And
Ooh, a
also with
teaser.
you. And also with you.
Someone was raised Catholic.